College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown. Hello and welcome to Two Man Power Trip. I am your host, JP John Paz. Of course, joining me is an absolute legend, a former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds ever in the history of the business, one of the greatest bookers ever, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
Very good, JP. How are you, my man?
Very, very good. Cannot complain at all. Now, as far as some questions that came in, little Ask Kevin Anything, a bunch of questions came in for you. So let's start off with, when was the decision made that Sting versus Hollywood Hogan would be the main event of Starrcade 1997? Was it during that 18-month build? Thanks in advance from a wrestling historian.
Yeah, it was built for 18 months. And you know how I said the Bloodline's the best angle I've ever seen, because they made baby faces along the way where we were really getting the heels over and using the baby faces gunpowder, right? The only one that was unscathed and would make a comeback on them was Sting. And I was so happy to see him at that stadium show. He looked great. He's working fabulous, not just for a guy his age, but for any age. He fits in with them. Terrific. I like the teaming with Darby. I thought their entrance, they were in Whitechapel, the famous area where Jack the Ripper went crazy with the top hat. I thought it was an incredible job. But getting back to the question, yeah, we said this is the way to do it. And that was one that we certainly didn't rush.
And now, Hogan and Hogan and Sting knew about the buildup too? Like, hey, this is the plan?
Oh, yeah. 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 They knew. And Hogan had a lot of input on that one too. He had, and I'll tell you who else did. Scott Hall. He was the one that had chained them as the Crow. You remember the time he had the NWO shirt on and then took it off and made the comeback?
Yep.
That was Scott's. Scott was a very smart guy. And one of the reasons why is he came from Florida. He got to sit around the Dusty and Eddie and Mike, who people absolutely forget about. And also Steve Kern. Steve was a very smart guy. So Scott wanted it so bad that not only did he try to improve and work hard on his wrestling ability, he worked hard on his mind too. He was a very, very solid thinker.
With the buildup in 18 months, how come you did want to take it so slow with this, but other, you know, main event matches necessarily didn't quite get this, you know, slow build or this huge build to Starrcade like Hogan Sting got?
Because at that time, the NWO was so hot. We had great baby faces, even though they got sacrificed a lot. We had great baby faces. Luger, Paige, Rick and Scott Steiner. I know I'm leaving. The British Bulldog. I know I'm leaving other people out, but we had enough of a great babyface roster that they could have fed those guys when they first came in. Then you could do an angle where it was, oh, WCW has a hope chance here. It was handled very well. Eric was behind it 1,000%. I think that's where Eric blossomed into his own. Again, he was surrounded with a lot of smart guys. Scott Hall, Kevin Nash is a guy that doesn't get his credit. Hogan came up with the idea of stretching it out as far as they could. So it was almost like a team effort, but I mean, I was guided step by step until the very end.
When you look at it too, that's kind of, you know, the best part is the build, not the end. Obviously, the end kind of stinks at Starrcade 87, the match and the finish stink, but the build is great. So is that kind of how you should book a huge feud like that, you know, 18 months in advance, way in advance, and build it out? You know what I mean? Like you want to really, really lay it out, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. You know, I said I don't want to be a dinosaur because you have to evolve. I don't know if people in this day and age can take 18 months. They can definitely take a year, but 18 months, and I'll tell you why. A couple of weeks ago, the Bloodline had an interview and an angle that they wrestling community kind of said, maybe they've worn out their welcome. Hey, brother, the numbers are astronomical.
Yeah, it's 15% higher than everything else in the show, yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes, even if it's the most interesting thing, it can't live up to it all the time. And if it does, that means you have to work, which you're supposed to do, much harder to get reset that bar, because then you're tempted to do something that doesn't fit, that's silly, and too hot-shotting. And sometimes, it's like anything else, you're in a movie, right? You're watching a movie. And we'll say it's The Equalizer, the new one that's come out, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's all this fighting and unique fighting. But then he stops and talks to people in the village, to, you know what I mean? And so what I'm saying, they bring it back down again. It's like, I saw the Rolling Stones, okay? They play all their hits. And then they play something from an album that not many people know, right? And it settles them down again. You know, you can't have it burning out every time. And again, you know, you're saying, what can they do next? I became a huge Sami Zayn fan. And it wasn't just because of his work, and his work is terrific. That hell of a kick thing, it's amazing. And then when he wrestled Roman, the building went crazy for like, wasn't it 18 minutes? They gave him an ovation. Is that right, Jimmy?
Yep.
Okay. What I found with Sammy was just his hand motions, his eyes, the way he sucked up to Roman. The one that really got me, when he first tried to get in with him, he said, Roman, I accept you and recognize you as the head of the table. He said, you're very influential. He said, but Roman, I'm very influential in the locker room too. I'm kind of like the locker room leader, in his hands and his eyes, and he's hesitating to say, but then when Rowan doesn't react negatively, he gets overboard with it. Right?
Yep.
Could you see, with now the Uso thing, Sammy trying to get back in with him? If something happened to Kevin, if there was an injury, or maybe Kevin and him arguing about Sammy. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just going over to talk to him. You know, they used to be my friends, and I'm going to talk to them and stop this silly nonsense. They could do something with him again. There's so many things that they could take this another year, and everybody is saying it's going to be Dustin and Roman at 40. Right?
Yep.
They could even put this off.
Well, Cody, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, Cody, rather.
Yep.
They could even put this off where it was, I hate three-man tags for the world title, not three-man tag.
Triple threats.
Because you can beat the other guy, not the champion, and win the belt. That doesn't make sense to me. But you could almost have a tag match and get away with it and stretch it further. I don't think in my heart of hearts that's the thing to do. It has to be Cody. Or here's the crazy thing. Sammy drew like hell with Roman. It wouldn't take much to heat him up. Or Kevin, or Seth, or anybody else that they got on top there, McIntyre. They got a lot of guys that they could go with and stretch this out. I don't think they're going to stretch it out because, first of all, Roman's been carrying the ball a long time. I think it is time switch, the people will go crazy, but they better have something to fall, something that hot. And I just think that whatever they're going to do when they beat Roman, they have to have a plan to really, they're going to have to really, really work hard on this follow-up than anything they've ever had to work after to replace a guy. He is the guy. And you know what I said, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But I think it's time. But you better decide who's it going to be, because to me, Sammy and Kevin and Rollins, they're true baby faces. I think Cody has a lot of heel in him. I think it comes across that way. Now, it looks like aggressive baby face. But, you know, the Roman's getting a lot of chairs now, right? These other guys have got over on their own organically, starting from Kevin to Sammy. I mean, McIntyre came back after being let go. Seth Rollins, these guys got over organically. It was almost like everybody, when the Cody first got in, people thought, oh, he's going to win it. I think that would have really hurt him, but they better be prepared that Cody could end up being a heel. And there's nothing wrong with that. But they better get their plan together. You don't want Cody to have to go through what Roman did when he was a babyface. Remember that?
Yep.
Just like The Rock. It's almost identical. I think they have to get their thing together, but they're doing a magnificent job. I think the wrestling business is on fire. 81,000 people. And I thought that was the best book card that they've ever had. I loved that Punk was on first to set the tone. They did a lot of wrestling. Joe and him had an incredible match. And I loved the finish on the main event. Everybody in that building thought somebody's going to turn on the other one. I love the 5 minute extra. I loved at the end when they ended up hugging. There's so many ways to go now with that. I mean, eventually we know somebody's going to turn, but they had a lot of balls to give them that finish. And the people lapped it up because they were shocked. They came, they got the belts earlier in the night. They thought for sure there was going to be a screw job coming up.
Yep.
I thought they did a magnificent job on the booking of the show. I loved almost every match. There was a few, and it's not the people's faults, the wrestlers' faults, because, you know, they didn't have the storyline like Punk and Joe. What did they get, a 20-year angle?
Pretty much 2003 it started, yeah.
Okay, yep. So a 20-year angle. The main event, it was the right guys at the right time and the best finish I've seen in a long time.
High praise for AEW. Surprised, yeah. But you're loving what you saw there. And obviously 81,000 people, nothing to nothing to shake a stick at. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, didn't they sell like 60,000 or 70,000 tickets without announcing a match?
Yep. Yep, people were clamoring for some AEW over there in England, that's for sure.
And I'll tell you, I thought Jericho did a hell of a job for Ospreay.
Yeah.
We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
You know?
For sure. That was a great match. Jericho turning back the clock a little bit in that match. Yeah.
Yes, she did. And the other thing is, they surprised the people. Ospreay going over Jericho. And what was it? Kenny Omega doing the job.
Yep.
So they booked that show very, very precise, I thought.
Now, as far as another question that came in, how was WCW able to turn a profit in 1995?
Well, look at the talent we had. The guys were coming into their own, right? Pillman, Austin, Flair was still there, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go. Flair was, you know, he was still Ric Flair. He's still Ric Flair, but he was, to me, that year was probably the best year he had. Every night, great matches. There was never a bad match. He was always involved, too, in a good angle. We just had solid, solid guys. And the other thing, and we never give credit to people in the office, meaning they were picking wrestling towns, and they were doing, in 95, we were still doing the interviews for local markets. So everything kind of fell together, like people that had just gotten there a couple of years ago learned their craft quickly on the job about when to put out the advertisements, when to really step, put their foot in the gas and step it up and have the number one DJ in town involved in something, whether he was the special ring announcer or whatever. They localized the towns, and the guys, it wasn't like those interviews that we did later that were generic interviews, because we weren't in certain interviews for local markets back in the day at that time. And when we did, I think it showed. And I think they still could do it. I know the internet, but just hearing your town's name, and I think they could do this, too. That would really help if they're going to run towns. Maybe they don't even have to run towns anymore with 81,000 people and then WrestleManias and every other major show, the Puerto Rican show that WWE had. But maybe if they took a camera to a town and they did something different, a belt being switched. I'm not saying the world belt, but the tag team belts or the ladies championship or an angle and put it in, inserted in. It would kind of give it a little shock. Well, I didn't know they had wrestling because people are oblivious about stuff coming to town, right? I think it would help out.
When you look at it too, Nitro is just starting, you know, in late 95. You have Hulk Hogan, obviously he's a cash cow. So all that kind of puts together, you at the helm booking, Bischoff running things, it finally turned WCW in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, we beat him the first night out.
Yep.
So, and the thing was, I especially did this. I put Brian Pillman, Mike Graham knew talent like his father. He said, Pillman should open the show. And I said, who are you going to get? He said, that's your job. I got Juice and Thunder Lager. Now, the sheets at that time were starting to really pop up. And Houston's name was all over it. He was like the guy at the time.
Yep. Yep. Your darling. Yep.
Yeah, he was the darling at the time. And WWE didn't have him. And I think that set the tone. That goes back to what I said about Brian. Not only did we lose a great talent, we lost a great mind. He would have been a fabulous booker.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Yes, for sure. Another question here. What did you think of the planned KISS WCW pay-per-view that was going to be called New Year's Evil? Have you heard of this? And do you like this idea?
No, I don't like the idea. You're putting KISS above wrestling, right?
Kind of, in a way, yeah.
I mean, they're the headliners. I mean, Can they be? And I don't think we got what we thought we were going to get from them. You know what I mean? This is just, again, my opinion, like you have your opinion. At that time, people were interviewing them everywhere. They really should have pushed, hey, we're involved in pro wrestling now, where people that had young guys that had been maybe wrestling fans when they were very young would say, holy shit, I didn't realize that. Let's go and see what they're doing. We should have made it a little bit more intriguing. We thought just the name KISS would make it big. It did okay, but I think we could have done a lot better and got a lot more out of it. The only good thing I thought that came out of it was Neil Torborg. Neil is one of the nicest people I know. I've known his wife forever. I used to train at the same gym with her. You know, she was a major bodybuilder. I mean, she was ripped. And I actually introduced them. So I'm not only the taskmaster, I'm the date master.
Yes. Look at that. How awesome is that?
Yeah. So I just saw them a little while ago, and Dale gave me a, you know, he's the strength coach for the Chicago White Sox. And I got he gave me a T-shirt, not a T-shirt, a hoodie. It's a Chicago White Sox friend team, so he's a super, super guy. And I'll tell you a funny story. He asked me, he said, I'm going to ask you a question. It's a little sensitive, but if you don't want to answer it, don't worry. He said, did you owe JJ that money for the boat? Remember when I was on Steve Harvey?
Yes, yes.
I said, if you believed it, then we did our job. It was so fun. It was so funny. They're such a great couple. And, you know, she's a professional rodeo woman now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, she's a barrel rider. And her daughter, their daughter, is a barrel rider, too. You know, when you go around. Yeah.
So, yep.
Yeah. They're just a great group of people. Like I said, I knew her when she was a strong... She was an unbelievable squatter. I mean, she was over 400 pound squatter, and she weighed maybe 140, 150.
Whoa, damn.
Yeah.
As far as fantasy booking is concerned, after buying out their contracts, meaning that you could have bought anybody, WWF could have bought out any WCW contracts at this point, who would you have wanted for your five-man WCW team to be at the Invasion pay-per-view? So any five guys against the five WWF guys at the Invasion pay-per-view.
So can I have Hogan?
Yes.
Okay, so I'd take... Sean was on the other side by then. So I have to have the three of them.
Hogan, Hall, Nash?
Yeah. And Booker and Goldberg.
Nice. I almost had the same team as you. I went Goldberg, Hogan, Hall, Nash, and Sting as my fifth. But yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
would have been a lot better than what they did when the WWE and ECW or WCW versus WWF. I mean, it was just it was a cluster. It was terrible. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Man, what a cluster!
The only reason why I didn't put Sting on there, I mean, to me, he's identity to himself. He was so homegrown. I would have thought that they would use him like they used him when he first came in. You know,
yep.
They didn't get behind them.
Yep.
And you can see at 62 or 63, he's jumping off the top turnbuckle onto tables, even if he doesn't make it. And then the match, you know, they just had the coffin match, a casket match. It was, you know, he's turned back time, and he looked the best physically I've seen him look in a long time. And I like the outfit rather than the singlet that he wears.
Yes, different. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Probably a little bit safer taking those crazy bumps. Maybe put a little protection underneath.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a question from King Illingworth. It says, can you talk about any interesting stories you had of visiting Canada?
Yeah. This was before I was in WCW when I was working in Japan. And I was going to Japan for FMW, and I was with Sabu in the Sheik. And I would go out during my match, and sometimes it would be me and Sabu in a tag. But usually it was him in a single, me in a single. And it was usually, the Sheik was last, so they flipped me and Sabu around. But most of the time, they were pushing Sabu in the semifinal, and I'd be the match before him. And we were set up one time because I was there when the... When I wasn't working in Japan, Sheik had Ontario, and he was running it with the guy called the Bear Man. He died in that car wreck that the Kelly twins were involved in. Do you remember that?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And Adrian Adonis? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So I would go to Japan, and when the Sheik had an aura that, in Japan, if you're afraid of something and you can touch it, it gives you great power. So they'd be trying to touch him. So me and Sabu would be out there making sure they didn't have anything in their hands or anything. But that never happens in Japan. And we worked for a promoter one night in Canada. And usually the Sheik had local promoters that he had worked with for years. And there was a problem with the money. And I didn't find out about it till later, but it was with the guy trying to short the Sheik. You don't do that.
No.
So when we get through showering, the local promoter's son comes in and says, "Come on, we got a bar. We're going to take you to the bar. We're going to take you to the bar." So when we go up the stairs, We don't go in the front entrance. We go up the stairs in the back entrance. And when I'm looking up as I'm walking out, I see all these motorcycles there. So we go up there, and it's me and Mark. And we go in, and the bar's packed, and we catch on, kind of get nudged up to the bar. And finally, we're down by the waitress station where they flip the bar, you know, and can walk out, come back, you know what I mean? That little hinge part of the bar. Do you know what I'm saying, John?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So we're down there, and this biker comes up, and he goes to Mark, "You're a big bastard," and starts pushing. "Oh, look at the muscles on you." He starts pushing Marky. I thought, oh, boy, this is too much, man. And then we're circled by about five of them. And I looked at one of them, and he had a knife hidden in his hand. I said, "They're going to try to cut us pretty good." So I look at the end of the bar where the trash can is. There's a 40-ounce vodka bottle. The guy starts to come lunge forward. I reached down, I got the bottle, and hit him across the head.
Oh, nice.
So he was in such a state of shock, he didn't even go down. He just kind of went to his knee. And he was about 6'5", so now we're on the same level. I hit him over the head with it, right? So now they all back up, and as he's stumbling through the bar, and we're on, like I said, the third floor. Mark takes a full beer and hits him in the back of the head with it. Cuts his own hand, and he kicks him down the stairs. I said, "We got to get out of here." Now, one of the ring crew had come with us. He said, "I got a car, let's go." We didn't get down all the way to this. We got halfway down the stairs, and the cops were there. It was a setup.
Big time, yeah.
Yeah, so we get an old cop, and he puts us in the car. He starts talking about main charges. Like, oh, Jesus Christ, we're not going to get out of here. We got a problem. We're going to have to get lawyers and stuff. So when I get to the, when me and Mark get to the police station, a younger detective, when I say younger, he's probably in his early 40s, said, "I need to talk to you guys. This is serious." So we go into his office, and he turns the blinds so nobody can see. He said, "I know that guy you hit." I said, uh-oh. He said, "My brother has a motorcycle, and the guy was envious of my brother's motorcycle, forced him off the road, and they beat the shit out of him.
Whoa.
He said, I want to thank you guys. He said, but here's what you're going to do. You're going to get in your car tonight. You can call. He knew the Sheik was running the show. He said, you can call the Sheik when you're on the road. If you can call his hotel, you're gone and you're off this tour because they're going to retaliate. So me and Mark went back to our hotel room. We packed our bags in 5 minutes, threw it, and we got out of there. That's how dangerous some of those clubs were back then. It was all because they wanted to stiff the Sheik money. Well, we weren't the guys that were paying or involved in the money transactions. They were just going to think, me and Mark, and Sheik was on top of me and Mark with the tag guys, and then we were just breaking Sabu in. In fact, he was refereeing. And I was never so happy to go through customs. We got to the other side, and I was afraid when we go on the other side, somebody would have said something, but it was, the United States side, so they didn't hear anything. But yeah, that was, and I absolutely loved working in Canada. Absolutely loved it. I just went up there a couple of months ago, and, they had a great house, brought in great talent. It's a great, and I'm about 20 minutes by boat, a regular boat to Vancouver Island.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Wow, pretty damn close.
Yeah. I mean, that. But if I got to take a ferry, I got to go over the mainland and then go up. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But as you know, I like the outdoors. There's a documentary on Netflix called Seawolf, S-E-A Wolf. They're the only known wolves that 70% of their diet is fish. They actually swim and dive down. They catch regular fish, and they bring up lobsters and shellfish. Pretty amazing. And they swim from, there's like right across, I could show you, right across from me. Can you see the ferry?
Yep. Okay. I see it. Yep.
That little island over there, 144 people live on it. So there's a lot of little islands around up there. And they'll swim from island to island. It's pretty crazy.
Nice. Pretty cool.
And they got some great wildlife there. Every time we go, we usually I'm enthralled with the wolves. They hide a lot, but I saw a pack of them just swimming and diving one day. A friend of mine I know that lives up there brought me to a place he knows, and it was crazy. Crazy.
Here's an interesting question for you from Jordan Av, 1997. Is there a particular match type that isn't done a lot that you would like to see more often?
If set up right, like when Wahoo would do it and Billy Graham and Dusty would do it, a strap match. But it has to be the blow off of first you have a match, maybe there's a DQ or a screw finish. Then you have a series of matches. And this is how you can get more than two or three. Dusty had four with Billy, I believe, didn't he? And that was the blow off, the strap match, right?
Right.
So, usually three's the limit you know, in New York back in the day. But they, Dusty got four with Billy, and done right with the right people, especially when you had Oahu. Done right, it's an exciting match.
Was there New Japan Pro Wrestling talent that you tried to get over for a WCW tour, but they just wouldn't let you have them? That was from Wall Jam 43. So was there New Japan guys that you wanted you couldn't get?
Here's the thing. I was in the negotiations. That was the only time I ever negotiated along with Eric. They wanted to hear from my lips what was going to go on. And in Japan, you have a meeting to set up a meeting to set up a meeting, right? So Eric and I flew to Hawaii, had a wonderful time with Eric, and his wife was along with him, wonderful lady. Eric and I went out in a boat with King Curtis's son. He took us out, a big catamaran. We were diving in the water with some porpoises. So it was a great time. So when I got there, and Eric and I were, and I had known Saito for quite a while. So when we got there, they said, Watts had destroyed, you heard about that, right? When they had the first relationship with Watts?
Yes, yep, absolutely. Killed him, yep.
Okay. I said to them, you tell me what you want. If there's any reservation on my part about a finish, I will get in touch with you guys and we'll work it out. That's why I kept Norton so strong on TV, because he was their guy at the time. And I was very, very conscious of keeping my word, because we were getting paid $1 million a year from them. We could use their talent. We didn't have to pay for their talent. On the flip side, when guys went to Japan, they got their money, plus you got paid it from home. But you're only missing maybe three shows, but the regulars were going over 2-3 weeks at a time, right? And almost every tour. So the question is, did I have a problem? Suppose I wanted Chono, but he was in the middle of an angle. They would say, Kevin, we can get him in a big angle, but he's one of the guys in the office that we trust. If you need him that bad, we'll give him the 2 days off of the TV you got to do. And I would say, no, I can wait, because I didn't want to put those guys flying from Japan, getting off the plane, working on a Monday night, going to TV on a Tuesday, and them getting on a plane that night. I wanted to show that we weren't going to do what Watts did. We were going to treat them humane. We got Sonny Ono to be the van driver when we had more than one or two. Beautiful van. Sonny would set up where they were. They'd stay at the same hotels that we stayed at, but we stayed at multiple hotels, the guys. But they would always stay at the office hotel. Sonny would take them to breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If there was a question, if they needed to go to the mall, we treated them superbly. I would say that their guys went over 85% of the time, unless they were young boys, and they would specifically say to me, no big head, beat them. And I'd say, I got to give them a win. In my way of booking, I got to give them a win. I don't want to kill them off. They say, okay, you can do that, but let us know how many wins they get. Because what we'll do is they'll send, as we had the Japanese talent there, when they would get a win, they'd put the stuff in Gong magazine in the newspaper. So that was one of the things I was really, really diligent at. I wanted that relationship to be very good, and they were very good to me. So go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say I always wanted Hashimoto, Shinya Hashimoto in WCW. He was awesome from New Japan.
Yes. Yeah. Something fell through where he was supposed to come over. And I think it was our fault, not theirs, because we had Muta and we tried to get them both to come. And it would have really, it wasn't a Tokyo Dome show. But I think it was, what's the smaller building?
Corrigan Hall.
And they had built up an angle. And I don't know if they were against each other or tagging or there was involvement. And they said, well, we can change it if you want. And after I've dealt with them so long, I just knew their body language. I said, no. We'll do it another time. So we had a wonderful relationship with them. And they, again, as I said, they were very good to me.
If you had a movie about your life, and there was a movie about you, what actor would you want to portray you?
Brad Pitt. I don't know. I wouldn't even... Couldn't even tell you.
What about Pacino? That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, Pacino would be cool.
He's not the tallest guy in the world either, or you know.
Yeah, Sly.
Cool. Yeah, Sylvester Stallone's not that. Yeah.
I'm even taller than him. So,
if Hulk Hogan said no, and you'd have to pick somebody else as the third man, who would have worked better, the Macho Man Randy Savage or Bret the Hitman Hart?
Here's my thinking on that. Bret just got screwed, right? Why would he join supposedly a WWE breakaway?
Right.
It has to be the Macho Man.
Makes sense. Very true. Yeah. From Front Row Joe, what do you think of an independent company running and selling out a show at the Mall of America in Minnesota?
Well, I thought they did a good job. I thought it was uniquely done. And this was Eric's idea, along with Hogan, because he wanted to get the Pasta Mania in there, remember?
Yep.
But it came from a different place. It looked completely different. It was the yin to the yang of the ECW arena, right? It was, you know, ECW arena was all guys, and the building had rats the size of dogs. Here we are at the biggest mall in America with people, was it three stories that they're on the balconies? I think it got over very well, and again, that was Eric's idea along with Hogan's. Eric had some... The funny thing is, people give Eric grief about a lot of things, but they don't understand. He was building something out of ashes and just small things like that, going to the Mall of America, going to Sturgis. Now, I didn't particularly like going to Sturgis because usually that time of year, for some reason, it was hot as hell out there. But I used to stay in Custer, Wyoming. I loved that. And then, you know, I got to go to Mount Rushmore. I loved it, just going to the visuals there. But it would be hot as hell, and we'd be outside, you know what I mean, during the day. But Eric did an amazing job finding different locations.
All right. Let's head towards the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website at tmptempire.com. Kevin, you can check us out coming up on September 30th, Rockaway Mall, Rockaway, New Jersey, 90s Con. It's going to be big. We're going to be there live and in color. What else you got going on in this crazy world?
Well, I'm going to be going to West Virginia the week before I see you for a seminar and an autograph session. So I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
All right. Great stuff, as always, Kevin. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. See you right back here next week. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the ultimate test stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved.